My pleasure again to be with you this morning. And my prayer is that the Lord would bless us to see the truths that are in His scriptures that He's given to us, and that we might be able to be blessed therefrom. I have a subject on my mind this morning that as I study, it's like many times I'll try to study a scripture and I end up being confused. I get confused by them and doesn't seem to fit and work together for me, and I almost think there's contradictions. And then after I discovered a little bit and researched a little bit, the Lord blesses me sometimes with revelation that makes me really appreciate His scriptures and His, the way He's done the Old Testament and the New Testament, and how they work together and how everything is in a complete and perfect circle. What I want to talk to you about this morning that I've been trying to study about is Solomon. Solomon, of course, was the king of Israel after David. In looking at that, my question is, did God choose Solomon to be the king of Israel? And I know that seems kind of like a dumb statement. I certainly believe He did, but in examining the scriptures, I found myself a little bit confused. We know that God many times speaks specifically, directly, expressly. He appeared to Abraham over there in Genesis chapter 12, and no question about it, it's in the scriptures. He called Abraham out and called him to go over to the Holy Land. Specifically, the Lord Himself appeared unto Abraham and made that call. In Exodus chapter 3, the Lord appeared to Moses, appeared to him out of the burning bush, and announced that, this is God, I am the great I am. And Moses knew it, and the Lord specifically, expressly, no question about it, called Moses. When it came time that they were trying to name a king of Israel, the people wanted a king, and the Lord let them choose a king, and they chose Saul themselves. But David said, the Lord says, I'll pick a king, and that'll be David. And we know that in 1 Samuel 16, he sent the prophet Samuel to do the work for him, but he directed him, and he rejected all of Jesse's other sons, because that's not the one the Lord picked, and the Lord expressly picked David to be the next king of Israel. We know that that didn't take place immediately, but He said He'll be the next king. And David went to work eventually for Saul. He went and helped the army out by slaying the giant. Then he went to work in Saul's court playing music for him to help him. And then he became a great warrior for King Saul. And then King Saul turned on him and chased him over the whole country. And I know at least twice and maybe three times, David had the opportunity to kill Saul. You remember back in Abraham, the Lord called Abraham out of the land where he was and sent him over to the Holy Land, and that became the father of the nation of Israel, the very first forefather of the nation of Israel. And during that time frame, he told he and Sarah they'd have a son, they'd bear a son, and that son then would be the head of all Israel. And Abraham and Sarah kind of got tired of waiting for the Lord to do His work, so they had to help him out. And when they did, they created a problem for us that we're still living with today. Because they didn't wait on the Lord. The Lord said, I'll do this, and He did do it, but they couldn't stand to wait. We know David had that same opportunity. David knew he was going to be the next king of Israel. The Lord had specifically and expressly said he'll be the king that I'm appointing. I'm doing it, and I'll appoint him. And David had the opportunity several times when he was running from Saul. He was in Saul's presence and had the opportunity to kill Saul twice so that he could go ahead and become king. Instead, he said, no, he will wait on the Lord. The Lord will make that time, and the Lord said He'll do it, and so I'm going to trust in the Lord. And sure enough, the Lord took care of the issue, and David became the king. But he became a king because of the Lord's work, because the Lord said He'd do it, not because, even though David had opportunity to make that happen a little earlier, David refused to do that. Well, the next king of Israel was Solomon after David. And I want to go and let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 7, when the Lord made a covenant with David about the king that was to come up next. Chapter 7, we see that, now I'm going to paraphrase this and save a little time here. David was sitting around his house, and he had a nice house made out of the cedars of Lebanon, a real nice, strong house. And he said in verse 2, I dwell in a house of cedar, But God still dwells in the tabernacle, in this house of cloth. He doesn't have a permanent place, and he's given me a permanent place, but I don't have one. And verse 3, it says, and Nathan the king says, go ahead and do it. But verse 4, we see the Lord appeared to Nathan and said, Nathan, I've got some specific instructions for you to tell David. David wants to build me a house. And he said, I don't have a house. I haven't had a house. I don't know why he didn't choose to do me a house first. But Nathan, I want you to go to him and tell him, I do not want you to build me a house. You've been a man of war and not a man of blood, and I will not have you do that. He says, not only that, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them there. He said, I'll pick a place for them to go to church and worship and them to live. And he says, and I don't want you building my house because you've had blood on your hands. But then he gave him this commandment, this covenant, verse 12 and 13 of 2 Samuel 7. He says, and when thy days be fulfilled, this is what the Lord told Nathan to go tell David. Expressly, specifically, the Lord gave instructions. When thy days be fulfilled, after you've died, when you've lived your life and you've died, David, then thou shalt sleep with thy fathers. You'll be a dead and asleep and gone. I will set up thy seed after thee, your seed after you, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name. I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And he makes it very clear. I will set up thy seed after you. I'll do it. I'll pick the king. And in which shall proceed out of the bowels, I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Now, we're talking about God's covenant. He made almost the same covenant over here in 1 Chronicles chapter 17, almost the identical thing. And in it, he says, when he repeats it this time, Kings and Chronicles overlap with a lot of the same history of Israel, but verse 11 of 1 Chronicles 17, and it shall come to pass that when thy days be expired, when you've died, that thou must go to be with thy fathers, you've been buried and go be with your fathers, I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me a house and will establish his throne forever. So that was the covenant that the Lord made with David, is that next king will come from your seed and it'll be of your sons. David had at least 19 sons. Those are documented in scripture, and I printed them off and made a list of them here, but he had 19 sons and probably more. And he had probably 20 or 21, because I think there's two sons that are not recorded, the two sons that died in infancy that are referred to in scripture. But we have clearly referenced in scripture 19 sons plus the two unnamed that died. So he says, it's going to be of your seed. Now the question is, where did then God specify, since it's your seed and it'll be of your sons, when did he specify that it would be Solomon that would be his son that would take the throne? And I think that's where the issue comes in. And that's where I begin my studying about, okay, now we all know it's Solomon. So when did he name Solomon? Well, let's back up a little bit. Let's go in 10, 11, and 12 of Samuel, and you don't have to go there, y'all know this, that David had an affair with Bathsheba. And he was admonished for that. He had her husband killed so that he could end up marrying her. She ended up getting pregnant because of their illicit relationship. And the Lord allowed that child to die. Nathan the prophet was the one sent to him by the Lord and said, go tell him he's done wrong. And he confronted David with it and made him admit and confess. Bathsheba had a child, but the child died. And David grieved over that. Then we get down in verse 24, and it said, and David comforted Bathsheba his wife. I'm in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24. David comforted Bathsheba his wife, and went in unto her and lay with her. She had a son, and he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. So we know that's where Solomon was born, and we know Solomon was going to be the one to come king. But I'm having difficulty finding where the Lord expressly said Solomon's one. David had 19 sons. The first three that we know very well are Amnon. He was the oldest son. He's the one that should step into the kingship under the tradition. We know in England, once the queen either resigns or dies, that Prince William, I believe, will step up. He's the first son in line, and that's what first sons do. And if not him, then Harry's, well, they've got an order then. William's had sons since then, but they've got an order of which you would step in. Well, Amnon was the first son of David. He had an affair. He'd not had an affair. He abused and raped his sister Tamar, and so Absalom then ended up killing him, and then one of David's chief warriors killed Absalom. So the next son in line, and he had a third son that died too, or apparently it's not mentioned, but the next son in line would be Jonadab. And those are the sons we know primarily, Amnon, who's dead now, Absalom, who's dead now, Adonijah, and Solomon. Those are the ones that we're aware of. Let's go now and look and see when David was actually named king. Go over into 1 Kings. When David was named king, that's in 1 Kings chapter 1 and 2. 1 Kings chapter 1 and 2, we see that right off the bat in chapter 1 of 1 Kings, David is old now and stricken in years, and they tried to cover him with clothes, but he got no heat. They ended up, and I'll skip through this, let you read it on your own and encourage you to. They went and got him a young maiden, a young virgin maiden, to lay with him. Now, there's no sexual intercourse involved here. It said she laid with him to give him heat. She was his nursemaid. This is the first time we have of an example of home health care here, where they sent a nurse in to take care of him, and she laid with him to give him heat. Verse 2, it said, then she laid with him so that he could get warm. Now, over in Solomon, over in Ecclesiastes, tells us that, you know, fourth chapter, I mentioned this when I was talking about threefold cord. It talks about two lay together. That's how they get stay warm. It's hard for sometime one person to get warm, but two laying together, you can have your heat. And that's what they were doing with David. They got him a maid because he was old. And if you read through the lines on this, between the lines, the suggestion is that David is old and perhaps senile at this time, very old in age, senile, sick, practically on his deathbed. Verse 5. Then Adonijah, the son of Hagrith, David, one of David's first wives, exalted himself, saying, I'll be the king. And he prepared himself chariots and horsemen, 50 men run before him. And you'll see in the next few verses, he set up this big party. He was going to name himself king. And he started calling some of the king's men to surround him and be with him. But we find out that some of them were not with him. Verse 8, Nathan the prophet, who'd given David, was David's old prophet, David, Nathan was not with Adonijah, and that's what's given to us in verse 9. And it said in verse 8 and 9, and Adonijah put on this big show, put on a big party, killed sheep and cattle. He called all his brethren, all the king's men. Verse 10, but Nathan the prophet and Benaiah and the mighty men and Solomon his brother he called not. Adonijah says, I'm going to assume the throne. I'm next in line. David's sick. I'm going to take over the throne. And again, if you can find it in scriptures, I haven't found it, and I think I've researched it pretty well, is that the Lord has not ever spoken on this since he said, David, it'll be one of your seed, one of your sons. Adonijah is the next in line to take that deal, and so he's decided to assume it. Verse 11. Now, look, we've not seen the Lord speak anywhere in this. Nathan hasn't gone to the Lord and said, Lord, what do we do now on this? Instead, we have verse 11, wherefore Nathan spake unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, says, have you not heard about Adonijah, Solomon's half-brother? He's going to try to take over the throne, and David, our Lord, does not know it. He said, therefore, come, let me, I pray, give thee counsel. Nathan said, let me talk to you. Let's strategize how we're going to solve this problem, Adonijah trying to take over the throne. I'm going to be your counsel. You notice, nobody's called on the Lord. Nobody's asked for the Lord's help. Kind of reminds me back Abraham and Sarah about, well, Lord can't fix this problem. We're too old to have children, so maybe we need to go ahead and solve this problem ourselves. That's what I think we see Nathan doing with Bathsheba. Let me give thee counsel that thou may save thine own life and the life of thy son Solomon. He's afraid Adonijah will take over the king and kill Bathsheba and Solomon. He said, go unto the king, David, and tell him, didst thou not, my lord, O king, swear unto thine handmaid, saying, assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. Why then doth Adonijah reign? Now, we haven't seen anything that Nathan, when Nathan is telling Bathsheba here to go tell David, We haven't seen an example of that in the scripture at all. We've not had any example anywhere that, you know, it's one of those things about I'd like to prove it to you, but I prove to you that it doesn't exist. Because I haven't seen it in scripture anywhere where the Lord came and said this. But Nathan is making up this story to tell Bathsheba. Tell the king, assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me. He said, don't you remember saying that? There's no evidence David ever said that in scripture that we can prove. And in verse 14, he says, you go in and tell him that, and I'll come in behind you and confirm you. I'll shore it up. They're making up this story to go tell King David. Remember, you're old and senile, but remember you told us Solomon was going to be the king. Bathsheba went in, saw the king. We get over here to verse 17, and she said, my lord, thou swearest by the Lord thy God and to thy handmaid, me, saying, assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. Now, there's no evidence of that in scripture anywhere. There's no evidence of the Lord ever saying that. There's no evidence of scripture anywhere of the Lord telling Nathan and Bathsheba to concoct this story that they've just done. He said, now, we let you know, verse 18, Adonijah reigneth, and now, my lord, the king doesn't know what he's doing. We skip down here and we see that, verse 22, and lo, while she talked with the king, Nathan the prophet came in and he said the same thing. Adonijah's taken over and you don't know about it. He is confirming this story that he and Bathsheba have worked up to try to tell David and David in his old age. So there are, verse 22 says this, they're all saying, God save King Adonijah and you haven't named him as king. And they've told him, don't you remember, you told us Solomon would be the king. Again, there's no evidence of that anywhere. So we see here, and I'll skip a little bit here, but King David said, okay, call the priest, call Nathan the prophet. And they came before him, and the king said to them, verse 33, take with you the servants of your Lord, and cause Solomon my son to ride upon my own mule. Bring him down to Gihon, the spring outside of Jerusalem. Let the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there king over Israel and blow ye the trumpet and say, God save King Solomon. Then bring him up to me afterwards, verse 35, and set him on the throne and he'll become king in my stead. In verse 39, it said, the priest Nathan took a horn of oil out of the tabernacle, anointed Solomon, and they blew the trumpet and all the people said, God save King Solomon. And Solomon became the king. Adonijah feared it and Adonijah is later killed. Solomon became king because Nathan and Bathsheba went and talked David into it. I think they outright lied to him, as best I can tell from scripture. We don't have any word that God, the Lord, played any role in this little event that's just been concocted here. In verse 2, chapter 2 of Kings 2, starts off this way. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, and he gave Solomon this charge, told him how to be a good king. He gave him a charge after he'd already made him king, but he charged him and told him what to do. And I think it's important we note that he's charged him with this. Now, just to give you this, because a lot of the people that will talk to you about this charge he gave him, well, I'll go and quote to you from 1 Chronicles chapter 28, where David does assemble all the princes of Israel. 1 Chronicles 28, first verse, David assembled all the princes of Israel and all the tribes, brought them all in together and said, I've got a declaration to you. I'm going to make Solomon the king. And in verse 5, he says, of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon. David's saying this. Again, there's no evidence in scripture anywhere that the Lord said it, but David is saying it because this is what Bathsheba and Nathan tricked him into saying. I'll use that in layman's terms or in slang. They just flat tricked him. I'm thinking about the time when Jacob and Esau were born and Jacob stole Esau's birthright and got the blessings to go forward. Now, that was wrong to him to do that, but the Lord still blessed Jacob after that. And we know the Lord blessed Solomon in his kingship. I'm not saying Solomon wasn't blessed. I'm saying the Lord, I can't find any evidence where the Lord ever said, and he said, I'll name the king, but I can't find any evidence that that's the case. But verse 5 of 1 Chronicles 28, and all my sons, the Lord hath given many sons. He hath chosen Solomon my son to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, and I have chosen him to be my son. I will be his father. Again, this is where David is saying this. After David is saying this when he's charged. But if you get over here, I'm going to skip it, going over chapter 29. All this is part of David's charge of his son Solomon. He's given him this charge about how to be king. And we're over in 2 Solomon's. We're not back over in Kings where he actually made him king. But if you get down to verse 22 of 1 Chronicles 29, again, this is an important point. And they did eat and drink before the Lord on that day with great gladness. And they made Solomon the son of David king the second time, and anointing him unto the Lord to be chief governor and Zadok to be priest. It says, after this charge was given, they made Solomon to be king the second time. They had a formal ceremony for him. This was after all the charge that David was talking about was after he'd already, where he said the Lord's chosen him, was after he'd already been made king back over in 1 Kings. First part of that where he called him and had him go down and they did a quick ceremony down at Gihon, poured oil on him, blew the horn, made him king. Then he announced it to all the nations and gave Solomon a charge. And that's when he laid out and said, the Lord's chosen you. We don't have any evidence of that anywhere that the Lord actually chose him. Then real quickly, who chose Solomon to be king if I don't believe that the Lord did? Go with me to Songs of Solomon. This is written by Solomon. Songs of Solomon, chapter 3. I'm going to pull one verse out of this, but I think it's a very important verse. Where again, the Lord has not, as best I can tell, there's nowhere in Scripture where the Lord has named Solomon was the son, the seed, to be named king of Israel. But Bathsheba and Nathan kind of concocted up a story to convince an old man, David. David named him king, and then David died after that. Verse 11 of chapter 3 of Song of Solomon. Solomon wrote this himself. And in the middle of this, he said, go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals, in the day of the gladness of his heart. Solomon says, my mother made me king. And I believe that's the truth. And I believe that's what really happened here. Let's go back real quickly now. This is where we started. And that's back over there. And when the Lord gave the covenant with David, he gave that covenant to David, and look what he says. He said, verse 12 of 2 Samuel 7, and when thy days be fulfilled, and you're sleeping with your fathers, when you're dead, when was Solomon made king? Before David died. David, when they rushed it up, and they did it, they didn't wait on the Lord. They made Solomon king before David died. And the Lord says, after you die, number one, after you die, shall sleep with your fathers, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. Now, how did Solomon get to be king? This story that Nathan and Bathsheba concocted up, and even Solomon recognized it over there in Songs of Solomon. My mother's the one that got me to be king. The Lord says, number one, I'm going to do it after you die. And number two, I'll do it. I'll be the one to do it. And there's no evidence in Scripture that I can find anywhere that he ever did it. I'm trying to find every Scripture that I've researched and do this, and I think I've done a pretty good job. I'm subject to fallacy, but I believe I'm right on this one. And he said, number one, after you're dead and gone, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. How long did Solomon reign? 40 years. That doesn't sound like forever to me. 40 years, not only that, the kingdom split up then. It went two different directions. People revolted. We had two kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. It's difficult for me to find, well, how does this work? What is taking place there that did the Lord get it wrong? Did he lie to us? Did he just make a mistake or did he just step aside? Well, you know, the events don't follow the covenant that the king said. I mean, that the Lord said, I will do it. I shall do it. He uses those wills and shalls. He didn't say, I might, or I'm going to allow you to. He said, I'm going to do it. Now, clearly, before I go any further, let me clearly say, Solomon was blessed as king. He was blessed. Now, when I talk about did the Lord choose him or call him as king, the Lord calls everybody that's his elect. He calls us all at some point in time. That's how we become regenerated. That's how we know we're his, and that's how we become his elect, because he calls us all. So the Lord clearly called Solomon to be a child of God and to be elect. But we know the Lord, you know, doesn't control everything. He didn't control in many ways. We know that, but we know that he blesses his people when they follow his lead, when they follow his commandments, when they do his will. You know, that even when Solomon dedicated the temple, he went ahead and built the temple. He went ahead and built the house of the Lord, the temple. This big temple, we know he did it. Did it last forever? No, it got destroyed, didn't it? They rebuilt it and it got destroyed again. Twice the house of the Lord has been destroyed here. That's not making sense with what the covenant that the Lord gave to us. We know over in chapter 3 of 1 Kings, when Solomon did become king, he was a young man. The commentaries estimate he was somewhere between 15 and 20 years old. He had a child. I suspect he was probably closer to 20. He'd already had one son by that time. But he was a young man, and he was scared to death to be king. You can tell that by reading this third chapter of Kings. And so the Lord appeared to him. First time the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream in verse 5 and says, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, you know, I'm but a little child. I'm a young man. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm king, and I don't know what I'm doing. He said, therefore, give thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? Lord, he humbled himself and came to the Lord and prayed and said, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. I have to have your help. Only one can do it. He says, give me wisdom. Give me the ability to be a good king. And the Lord, like he does any of us, the same way he does any of us that are called, just like Solomon is, we go to him humbly, ask for help. The Lord is gracious and he's merciful, and that's what Solomon did. Solomon did exactly what scriptures teach us to do. Go to him humbly and in prayer and ask for help. And the Lord was impressed by what Solomon asked for. He said, you didn't ask for yourself a long life. You didn't ask for riches. You didn't ask for the line of the life of your enemies. This is what men want. They want to be rich. They want to be powerful. They want to live a long time. They want their enemies done away with. You didn't ask for any of those. You asked for wisdom to judge my people. I like that. He said, not only am I going to give you wisdom, but I'm going to give you power, and I'm going to give you good life. I'm going to give you relief from your enemies. And that's why Solomon was blessed and able to build the temple, because he was able to make treaties with all his enemies and get all the products necessary to build. You know, he made treaties with the king of Lebanon. That's where he got the cedars of Lebanon to build all the things of the temple. So the Lord richly blessed him. And we're told over here, we give an example about, y'all know this, about Solomon splitting the baby to show how wise he was. We know the Queen of Sheba came to see him to figure out how smart he was, and when she figured it out, she said even the half hadn't been told about how smart this man is. The Lord richly blessed him as king. In chapter 4, verse 29, it says, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as to the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom exceeded and excelled the wisdom of all children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. He spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Verse 34, and there came to Jerusalem all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all the kings of the earth which had heard of this wisdom. The Lord says, you know, other than Christ, there's never been a man in the history of the world before that was as wise as Solomon, or since then that was as wise as Solomon. That's why his Proverbs and his songs and his Ecclesiastics are such a good study for us. Wisest man in the history of the world. So the Lord richly blessed him. Now, the Lord may not choose me to do something, but if I go to him, any one of us go to him in prayer like Solomon did, humbly in prayer. He was a child of God, and the Lord blessed him once he became king. But did the Lord make him king? who is it that he was clearly blessed, but again, did when God made that covenant back there, which said, I'm going to do it after you die, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it right, I'll name it from your seed and your sons, I'll name it. What happened to that? Again, did the Lord make a mistake? Did he just kind of say, well, I didn't really mean that, I'll let y'all go ahead since y'all have handled it okay, I'll go ahead. We notice when Nathan and Bathsheba did this little trickery of King David in his old age, never mentioned in there about them going to the Lord and getting permission. It reminds me again a whole lot of Abraham and Sarah when they decided to get ahead of the Lord and do what the Lord had promised them. They said, we're getting too old to do that, so they figured it out on their own. Well, that's a lot of what Nathan and Bathsheba did. What happened to that promise that the Lord made to David? I'm going to jump ahead a little bit here. Before we come back, I'm going to come back to that verse, and we're going to talk about some more. But I'm going to jump ahead over here to the New Testament. Let's see if we can't pick up a little bit of guidance. You go to the New Testament, go to the book of Luke. In the book of Luke, because he said, promised him, this is going to come from your lineage, your seed, your sons. Go to Luke chapter 2. Joseph is married, Mary. And she's pregnant with child. We know she was conceived of the Holy Ghost. And she's pregnant. And Joseph and David, in verse 4 of Luke 2. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea. They were to be taxed. Caesar had called taxed and you got to be censored. You got to be, have you go put your name in a log and be censored and be taxed that way. So David packed up Mary, pregnant Mary, put her on the donkey, and they rode down into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, and then it's got this at the end of verse 4, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Joseph was a descendant of David. Back up with me now to Matthew. Matthew chapter 15. Beginning in verse 21, we have the story of the little Gentile woman whom is up in Lebanon that Jesus has led his disciples to, and she's got troubles because she's got a daughter that's sick. Verse 22, it says, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. This little Gentile woman who doesn't have the scriptures, she's up in Lebanon, she's out of Judea, she didn't have a copy of scriptures. Only scripture existed then was the Old Testament. She didn't know who he is. How does she know his background and his lineage? She calls him out, doesn't he? You know, it's interesting when you go visit somebody. I was visiting with a man. He said, you know, in the church, he said, I went to see an old elder. You know, I wanted to introduce myself to him. And it was David Montgomery that was telling me this. I went to see an old elder in the church who didn't know me, but I'm a young man at the time. And I went and introduced myself. And he goes, I know you. You're the son of Hugh Montgomery. And you're the grandson of Elder Fannin. He said, man, it's interesting. Somebody could start giving you their lineage. He knew about me from my background. Well, she knows about the Lord. Ms. Brigham, O Lord, thou son of David. She knows Christ's lineage. Jump over here now to Matthew chapter 21. When Jesus is entering into Jerusalem, I'm just going to give you a few examples. There's more, but I'll give you a few that stand out. Chapter 21, the day that Jesus enters Jerusalem on the back of the donkey, and this is when everybody's finally realizing who he is. Gets over here in verse 9 as he's riding into the city and they're all forming this parade. It's what we call Palm Sunday. They're laying palm trees down in front of him. That's over in John. But here in Matthew, verse 9, it says, and the multitudes that went before and that followed cried out saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They're calling Christ the Son of David. One more example. Jump over here to Matthew chapter 22, Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 15. I'm going to skip a lot of this. But the Pharisees and the Sadducees are questioning Christ, and they ask him questions. Number one, you know, do you pay taxes to Caesar? You know, and he says, show me your money, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, and render unto God things that are God's. Then the Sadducees ask him a question about the resurrection, this foolish question about who are we going to be married to and who are we going to know in the resurrection. And Christ said, you know, you don't know the scriptures and you err, and he puts them to shame. And puts him and proves the resurrection in the Old Testament. Then the Pharisees come back and ask him, you know, what's the greatest commandments? And he said, now there's two. Love the Lord and love the neighbor. And then we get over here to verse 41. They've asked him their questions to try to figure out who he is. Now Jesus asked a question, and he said, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? You know, you believe there's going to be a Christ. Christ is the Savior, the Messiah. His name was Jesus. We know him as Jesus Christ. He was Jesus, and he was our Savior. They know him as Jesus, but he says, tell me who you think this Christ is that you talk about. Whose son is he? And even the Pharisees said, they said unto him, the son of David. So we have this evidence here of Christ being of the lineage of David, being the son of David, being referred to of David. Over in Hebrews, the 6th, 7th, 8th chapters, it talked about under the new covenant, not the old one, where all the priests were under Aaron. It said, under the new covenant, you have a new high priest. Not after the order of Aaron, where you had to be descendant of Aaron, but we have a new high priest that's on the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek was appointed directly from God. He said, Christ is your new high priest. He'll be your high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, means he was appointed directly from God. So we have our new high priest in the new covenant, the church, is God, and he'll be our high priest forever. Now go with me back to where we started. Go with me back to 2 Samuel chapter 7. Let's reread the covenant. I'm in the wrong place. 2 Samuel chapter 7, where God's covenant is with David. Now we read this, and the majority of commentators read this, and we're looking ahead, and we know it's Solomon. Said, you know, the guy after you is going to be the king that I'm going to name. And we all said, well, that's Solomon, because we know what comes next. So we go into this with a presumption that we're talking about Solomon. But he said, I'll name it after you're dead. Solomon was named before David died. And he said, and I will do it. Well, he didn't really do it. And there's no evidence of any scripture where he ever named Solomon to be the next king. Nathan and Bathsheba took care of that for him and tricked David into it. And then David said, well, you know, after in this charge, but that charge was after Nathan and Bathsheba had tricked him. And he said, I'll name it. It'll be of your seed. We assume that's Solomon he's talking about. And he said, and it'll be forever. But Solomon only reigned 40 years, and then the kingdom split up. Instead of reading this under the presumption that it's Solomon, let's read this under the presumption that he might be talking about a man named Christ. Let's read this in a different line. Think of that man. Thank Christ when you do this. Verse 12 of 2 Samuel 7. And when thy days be fulfilled, when you're finished being king, and thou shalt sleep with the fathers, you're dead, I will set up thy seed after thee, after you're long gone. Again, Solomon became king before David was gone, so Solomon doesn't fit that. He said, I'll do it. I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels. He'll be a seed, he'll be a descendant of yours. Over at Chronicles it says he'll be thy son, but we see all over in the New Testament, when they talk about the son of David, they were talking about, they referred to Christ and Jesus several times as the son of David. And it says, I will set up thy seed after thee, he shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name. I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Doesn't that make a little more sense of who he's talking about now? He's talking about Jesus, all the way back over in David's. The Lord set up the kingdom of David. He named David the first king of physical Israel. And in his covenant with David, he made the covenant for the king that would be forever of spiritual Israel. This is where the Lord is giving us indication early on. He's not talking about Solomon. We assume that many times. But he's not talking about Solomon. He's talking about Christ. He said, Christ is going to be the head of the kingdom. That's going to be the church. That's what we have today. Christ is the head of it. He's our Savior. He's our King. He's our protector. He takes care of us. He's taking care of us to ensure that we're not going to die. We're going to be in His King forever. Our bodies will die. We'll be joined back up with Him later in the perfect body. But the minute we die, we go to be with our King. be in the presence of our King forever. That's who the Lord's talking about. It's a beautiful picture when you see what the Lord had set up from the start. You know, because the kingdom of Israel did not last. David was the first king, and the Lord named that. And that's what he's done here with David. But he said then, after that, the king I set up that I will establish, you're going to have the high priest appointed directly by God. And that's proven over in the New Testament. I won't go there today. But proven by the New Testament, he's named him king forever. Came out of the seed, out of the lineage of David. Sometimes we make these presumptions that aren't established by Scripture, but they are proven out. When I got to that and found that, it was like, no, Lord didn't make a mistake. He didn't lie to us. He finished the job that he said he was going to do. He finished it perfectly. And we have a complete circle from the New Testament, Old Testament to New Testament, and right back again. We have a wonderful book here that doesn't have any inconsistencies in it. When we think it's inconsistent, it's because of our understanding of it. We just hadn't studied enough. And when you study, the Lord will reveal it to you. We serve a wonderful Lord who has a perfect book and a perfect gospel and perfect scriptures. He's designed a perfect plan for us. We have no ability to save ourselves. And in fact, you know, we're like those. We try to do things without the Lord. And when we do, we mess them up every time. Just like Abraham and Sarah did. Just like David and Nathan and Bathsheba did. The Lord is merciful to us. He blessed Solomon to be a great king. He blessed him with natural blessings. But David, you know, at the end didn't turn out, didn't persevere. He didn't turn out to be the perfect king. He was led astray and into some pagan worship practices. And then when his kingdom ended, the kingdom of Israel as a combined king ended and split into two. So it wasn't Solomon he was talking about there. It was Jesus Christ. And he has established the kingdom. We're in it now, and he's in it forever. We know where we go. We're going to be subjects to the king forever. Even when our natural bodies die, we're still his subjects in his kingdom. You've been very kind with your attention, and my prayer is that the Lord will richly bless each of you. When we study his word, it pays off, and it gives us great benefit and great understanding. Do we have a song, Brother Gary?
Yes, sir. Number 506.